Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
I want to just jump right in. We've spent the last couple of months, we've really emphasized a couple things here. One was the power of God. And then the other, through the holidays, we started to shift a little bit more towards fixing our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart, to see Jesus. And we've spent a few weeks talking about that and just what a gift that is. And I want to zero in on the encouragement that you've been hearing about with regard to seeing. And I've often said that I want to cultivate what I've referred to as a prophetic community. And some of you understand what that language means, and some of you, you might have an idea. Some of you, it might be kind of new language for you. And I get all of this from 1 Corinthians 14:1 that encourages us to follow the way of love and desire all spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And so we have this sort of emphasized for us that love is the foundation that we build everything on, that we clothe ourselves in love, that love is the motivating factor for everything that we want to be doing. And what we want to be doing is engaging not only an ideal expression of Christendom. Thank you, Tiffany. Like, my Christian experience is more than just agreeing with ideals or ideas or concepts. That our Christian experience is very relational. And it's spiritual. We're actually spiritual Christians. And as spiritual Christians, we have the opportunity to agree with ideas and concepts, but our identity as spiritual believers, as sons and daughters in the kingdom of our Father, and having a relationship with Holy Spirit, that's at the core of who we are. The ideas and the concepts come in and help support who we are or help us grapple with or identify in certain ways. But ideas are not the definers in the sense of, like, my ideas are going to change. My identity being established in God and the fact that His Spirit has taken up residence in your life, that's not going to change. And so for you to be a spiritual Christian, that's really kind of what I'm talking about when I talk about a prophetic community. Because spiritual Christians have spiritual senses. Just like you have physical senses, we have spiritual senses, and we can grow in our attunement or our ability to understand the heart and the mind of God. And when I say God, I'm talking about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this is a community of seers. And as we enter into this with growing maturity, you know, as we develop our ability to know God's heart and His mind, not only for ourselves, but for other people, for situations that we find ourselves in, as we mature in this, we taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah? And so this is a community of believers who hears from the Lord. This is a community of believers who have spiritual senses that are becoming more attuned to what God is saying, what He's showing us. A community of believers that's growing in their understanding of the language of the Spirit. And by that I mean, you know, you read, like, just go on a wild ride and start reading books like Ezekiel and Daniel. And you'll start to understand quickly that the language of the Spirit is often very metaphoric, symbolic. He speaks to us in dreams. Jesus speaks to us in parables. There are ways that God himself communicates to us that can be mysterious. And it's not just so he can stay aloof. It's actually the opposite. It's so that we as his disciples, as his followers, can step into with the questions, like, what do you mean by this? And it demands a bit of an interpretation so that we're engaging deeper into this instead of just simply leaving it at the ideal and concept level of our intellectualism. And so this is why the language of the Spirit, you know, through dreams and metaphor and symbolism, you know, we get to grow in this. And as a community of believers who are entering into this larger story of the kingdom of Jesus, I mean, it's full of miracles. It's full of the supernatural. The revelatory gifts are sometimes mysterious. And this is where some of us who have grown up in very traditional, intellectually based expressions of Christendom, we have to come to a threshold, and we have to be willing to say, look, I'm okay with stepping into a little bit of mystery here. Because up to this point, for most of us who've grown up in traditional expressions of Christianity, especially in evangelicalism, there's a lot of mastery, you know, that we try to attain. And it's okay for us to master things. But fundamentalism is to Christianity what paint by numbers is to art. It might help us learn how to use a paintbrush and how to put colors beside each other. But there's a big difference between paint by numbers and art. And there's a big difference between fundamentalism and relationship with the mystery, Jesus. And so there's nuance, and we won't always get it right. We'll have to come back and kind of revisit things where maybe we messed up, and that's okay. There are signs and wonders. There are God stories in this larger kingdom, okay? And so all that being said, I realize that not everyone here experiences the Lord through visionary and episodic encounters with Jesus. I realize that, okay? So one of the things I'm not trying to do here is get you to morph into like our version of Christianity. Like, it's not like you're in or out if you can do this or not do this. You know what I mean? It's like there are ways that some of you experience the presence of the Lord that I don't. And I love that. And so this morning, I want to unpack some deeper motivations behind our emphasis here. You know, we have this emphasis for the supernatural and for, you know, everything that I've just described. Why? Why is that the emphasis? I mean, I would say in a word, intimacy. In a word, it's intimacy. Intimacy with the Trinity, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, with the Father. Not that the Godhead needs to be compartmentalized into three different gods. It's not that at all. I actually think of the Trinity more like this. It's so that our identities can be informed by the distinct attributes of God that are portrayed in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. As I relate to Jesus, I enter into my humanity and my brotherhood. And this is different for different people. But I not only enter into this with Jesus, but I also enter into it with all the other humans on the planet, right? I mean, Jesus informs my identity as one who belongs, even though I've experienced brokenness, sin, failings. So me entering into relationship, and as I relate with Jesus, it helps inform my identity as someone who belongs and is being healed and is being restored. So then, as I relate to Holy Spirit, so again, we're relating to Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I relate to Holy Spirit, I enter into my spirituality and also my okay, I'm just going to say this because it sounds pretty bold to say this, but I want to be bold. I want you to actually grab a hold of this and say you can enter into your boundless supernaturalism. Like you can actually enter into this identity that you are not bound by time and space because you are united with the Spirit of Christ. And that Holy Spirit unites us with each other. So there's something about your identity that gets formed when you relate to Holy Spirit that might be different than when you're relating to Jesus or to the Father. And so I'm able to enter into my spirituality not only with the eternal, but also with the world that I live in. And Holy Spirit informs my identity as one who is empowered and is being called outward. So this is really good stuff, right? So the Holy Spirit helps inform me in these ways. And when I relate to the Father, I enter into my sonship. And not only with my papa, but also with you, my family of destiny. And so my Father informs my identity as one who is assured. And I'm actually being reparented, right? Because my papa on earth wasn't God and didn't get it right all the time. And so my Heavenly Father is reparenting me and assures me. And so I just want to prioritize the spiritual attunement through the prophetic and the revelatory gifts so that we can know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are ways that we enter into a deeper knowing. And I also want to prioritize our spiritual attunement to the prophetic and to the revelatory gifts so that we can help others know God. So it's not just a one-way thing here. It's not just, you know, like I'm a big black hole and everything's going to suck my way. No, it's so that I can be empowered to be a light and to be an expression and to really represent Jesus on the earth. And so I think that there's two ways that you and I can grow in this. And the first one is that we can value our abiding place with the Trinity. And so I'm going to have you turn to John 15. It's a very familiar passage. John 15, 1. So we're going to, again, place a value on your abiding place with the Trinity. I call it the abiding place. And then the second way that we can grow in these things is we can give of ourselves. And so the first one here, the abiding place. So John 15, 1, Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they can produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone that does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. So remain in me and I in you, and your life will be fruitful. So this abiding place that we have with God is really a gift of his presence entering into our lives when we've yielded to Jesus, when we've given our lives to him. It's deeply intimate. So much so that the scriptures describe this in terms of marriage. Oh, did you know that today is National Spouse Day? Look at your spouse, if she's or he's there. Say, I love you. All right, National Spouse Day. So it's really fascinating that there's language around our intimacy with Jesus that's used to describe the marriage between a husband and a wife. And by saying that, let me just help you, because some of you have a caricature definition of marriage, because for many, marriage has not been a fun ride. And so that can take our definition of marriage, and just like, you know, my relationship with my earthly father can give me a caricature of how I see God the Father, sometimes our personal experiences create filters and form a caricature definition of something like marriage, for example. And let me just say that the marriage that we're speaking of here is pure, and it's right, and it's intended to bring life to both husband and wife. And the bridal paradigm that we find in Scripture, when, you know, Jesus is related to the husband and the church is related to the bride, and we're known as the bride of Christ, and there's this intimacy. You realize that this intimacy is between you and Jesus. And this bridal paradigm is less about earning your acceptance and more about being chosen. And it's less about serving, like in the slave mentality, and more about partnership, right? It's less about trying to close the gap as though Jesus was distant, and it's more about oneness. Romans 7:4 tells us, you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, you can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. So here's a connection between your intimate oneness with Jesus and producing fruit that is intended to be for others. All right? And so this brings me to a practical way that you and I can cultivate our abiding intimacy with Christ. I shared a couple of weeks ago about the relationship between worship and having visionary experiences and encounters with the Lord. You guys remember me talking about that? Today I want to mention the relationship between meditating on the words of Christ and seeing. If we're going to attune, if we're going to heighten our awareness, if we're going to be more sensitive to what the Lord is saying or what he's showing, then there are things that we can do to help cultivate that. And these are not disciplines to get God to like move on our behalf. It's not like we're trying to earn anything. We're just simply positioning ourselves to receive. All right. So today I wanted to mention that because I want to mention the relationship between meditating on the words of Christ and seeing. So today we observe the Lord's Supper, which I actually prefer to call communion. Common union. Union. It's the union that we have with Jesus personally, and it's what we share with each other since we have the same spirit that unifies us. And so we took the bread, we ingested it. And I read that passage and I meant what I said, you know, like we're coming to Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he meant it. And so he also, I mean, it goes so far as him telling his listeners that you have to eat of my flesh, which was really strange to hear, you know. And a lot of people backed away from Jesus after he said that. But he says in John 6, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now, this is where I want to kind of tie some things together. Because we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word is Jesus. And so when we partake, we're not just eating bread. When we partake of Jesus, we're ingesting his words. Now, this is where it's going to be important for us, because this is our communion with the living Word, Jesus. And one of the things that I think will be helpful for us is you and I, when we ingest the words of God, we're taking the two-dimensional black and white letters that are on a page written in Scripture and we're meditating on them, and what we're allowing those words to do, if you think about it in terms of eating the bread, like he's the bread of life, we're ingesting his words. They're one and the same for me. It's like we begin to metabolize the words that were two-dimensional, black and white, and they begin to take on a life within our spirit. And the life of the word that we've ingested, that we're meditating on, has the potential, if you can allow yourselves to move from the two-dimensional black and white letters on the page and begin to apply like your sanctified imagination to begin to enter into what is being shared through the word, you can encounter it in a way that becomes three-dimensional, five-dimensional, whatever, yeah, right, George? Seven-dimensional, I don't know, how many dimensions are there? And so this is a way for us to intimately encounter the word of life. And that's why he says in John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. He says that, right? So he's actually giving us a nod to this in John 15. You can ask whatever it is you need to ask because you're going to be attuned to the things of the Spirit in ways that you hadn't been before. So therefore, you're going to be asking things that are actually lining up with the will of the Father. And as you ask these things in his name, then you can grow in your assurance and your confidence that he hears you and that he wants to move on your behalf. Where your prayers of intercession and your prayer of asking becomes a powerful like conduit of just the miraculous. It really does. And so I want to just voice that because here's the bottom line with it. You enter into the story when you read the word. You enter into it. Some of you have heard of the phrase Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine hearing or divine reading. And this is a way of approaching the scripture and meditating on the word that gives you, it becomes a very spiritual experience. It's more than just filling in the workbook study or, you know, you're really connecting with it. And so in a classic Lectio Divina, which is a reading of a passage of scripture, it's read three times. At least three times, sometimes four, but at least three times. The first time is just you read it, just to hear it, just to read it. The second time you read it, and you ask Holy Spirit, highlight something in that that's for me. And the third time is you literally allow, like you ask Holy Spirit, sanctify my imagination so that I can enter into your words. And you become a part of the narrative. And so those who practice this regularly as a spiritual practice, they begin to smell the smells internally. They begin to like feel the feelings. They begin to experience the tensions. They begin to have like a more whole person experience with the word. And when you're in that space, I think it's okay for you to ask, Jesus, is there anything that you want to say to me or anything you want to show me while I'm here meditating on your words? The reason why I'm bringing this up is because it safeguards our imaginations. It really does. It's a powerful way to cultivate intimacy with the Trinity. It safeguards our imaginations. We have to have an anchor to the Scriptures so that they can inform our imaginations. The Scriptures, the words of life, inform our imaginations, not the other way around. We good with this? It's not enough for us to say, let's just really work on those sanctified imaginations without us being anchored to the word. Because the words of life inform our imaginations. We never want to find ourselves exclusively relying on our imaginations to connect us with the Trinity. We have to connect with the word. We have to connect with community. And we have to bring those things into the fabric of how we relate to each other and how we relate to God. Okay? So I wanted to say that because it's very important. And I want our imaginations informed by the truth. And I want us to allow those the two-dimensional nature of the text to come alive and explode into these episodic encounters with the Word, Jesus. When we come to the Scripture, we're coming to the person of Jesus. We're coming to the man, Christ Jesus. And so let it be. So the intimacy that we find with Jesus in our abiding place, it naturally causes fruit to grow in our lives. It really does. And so I think fruitfulness can be both qualitative and quantitative. And the qualitative nature of the fruit in our lives, these are the qualities of our life that come online when you remain in your abiding place with God. They're the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, endurance, so on and so forth. And so these things occurring in our lives are really very, very important for us, for our relational, just for our relationships. I mean, it's so much nicer to hang out with people who are kind. I mean, if you're going to be a conduit of God's goodness, be good. I'm a man of few words today. Wow, right? It's a miracle. And then there are things that occur in our lives that we can actually count. The quantitative. Quantity. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Bible tells us when the miraculous catch of fish occurred, it says that Simon Peter dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish. It mattered. I don't know the significance of the 153 fish, but there was something quantitative about that. It was a result of intimacy with Jesus, an intimate encounter with Jesus. And it radically changed Peter's life. So the natural byproduct of intimacy is a multiplied life, multiplication of life. I mean, if you think about it, intimacy brings life. Congratulations to those of you who are pregnant. So, giving of oneself as a fruitful byproduct of intimacy with the Trinity actually enhances your intimacy with the Trinity. And this is where some of you are experiencing the presence of God in ways that I might not be. Some of you are experiencing the presence of God not through, these meditative practices, but because you're engaging with people in their most difficult seasons of life. Some of you are connecting with others and you're encountering something of God through their lives. So it's not either or, it's both and. And I want to begin now to just turn the table, and we're going to talk more about this in the weeks to come. But wasn't it Jesus who said, when you do these things to the least of these, you're doing it unto me. There's something of the Lord that we get to encounter and experience when we choose, as a byproduct of our intimacy with the Lord, to give out to others, to give of ourselves to another human being, especially in their brokenness, especially in the honest, authentic place of life together. And so this actually, for some of us, this is probably the bigger mystery. And this is a part of the mystery that I'm stepping into and leaning towards. Like, yes, I love this dynamic interior life that I have with you, God. I love the encounters that I have with you, Jesus, through your word and through my sanctified imagination. I love that stuff. My interior world got huge in the last several years compared to my external world. But now the pendulum is swinging where it's like, okay, that's all good, but it's not just about that. It's intended to be an outflow towards others. And so this is the frontier that I'm on with the Lord. And it feels good and kind of scary. Just like maybe all that prophetic talk is scary for some of you. And you'd rather just go feed the hungry. So that's all I have for this morning. I want you encouraged that you were made for intimacy and your lives were made for fruitfulness. And the Lord is in your corner and he's backing you up 100% on this stuff. So with that, I'd love to just invite you to stand and let's pray together. At the core of this, Lord, I just want to just ask you now, would you give us the grace to take the two-dimensional experiences that we've had with your word and bring them to life? I want to ask for this in your strong name, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that whenever we choose to meditate on your words, that we would encounter you, the word, and that we would feed on your words, and that it would be like taking the bread of life. And thank you, Lord, that when we take the bread of life, we will not hunger. You'll satisfy us. And so I pray that specifically for us this week. Moving into this week, I pray that you would give us the grace to experience you through your word and to experience you in the place of our like prophetic expressions, in the place of our revelatory gifts and our sanctified imaginations and all that kind of stuff, Lord. Let your words become the foundations for that this week for us. And I pray that in your strong name, Jesus. And again, we want to pray for Veronica. We thank you, Lord, that you spared her deeper injury. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring a powerful, supernatural restoration to her physical body in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, particularly against any discouragement that she might be experiencing or any sort of diminishment that the enemy of her soul might want to be bringing to her. And I pray, Lord, for her home to be full of your peace with the boys. And I just ask, Lord, for you to just really use this in some way, turn it towards something good for them, for the three of them, for Levi, for Johnny, and for Veronica, I pray. And Lord, just inspire us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, I also want to pray for Sarah Ray. Lord, she is one who has been an example to me of a person who has been willing to give of herself. And so, Lord, I just want to ask you, Lord, that she, would you meet her in Africa? And would you give her incredible encounters with who you are through the people that she's with? And I just want to ask, Lord, for her continued safety and her health and protection, and be with Brian, Lord, and Niall as they're here. I just want to ask for her safe return in Jesus' name. And also for Bob and Val, Jesus, thank you for them and the example that they are, where they are a couple who has been really just an example for us in this community of people who are just steady, and they complement one another very well. They have this powerful supernatural quality, and they also have this very down-to-earth, humble nature of just meeting people where they're at. And so, Lord, thank you for their example to us, and I pray that you would bless every single person that they encounter, Lord, and bless them. Keep them well. I know Val was sick this week as well. Just strengthen them and bring them home to us safely. And we pray all these things in your strong name, Jesus. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.